B-Pod Studios.
You want to talk sports in Boston? You talk to these guys.
That will not be a recycled take.
Right.
But it's, no,
it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What do you want me to do? Talk over this?
What the hell's going on here? You got kids swimming in their underwear.
Oh, at the frog pond?
Is that the frog pond? What is that?
That looks like the frog pond there.
They put chlorine in that thing? They got to treat it with something, right?
You would think. It's very, very shallow. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle all week, except for Wednesday. I don't know who's going to be here on Wednesday.
I don't either. I don't care.
Jones and Arcan.
Oh, Jones and Arcan on Wednesday. Good. Okay. Here's what Michael. What?
I wonder if Jones had anything on the Little Leaders send off on Friday. Jesus. I missed it. I was so pissed off. I missed Jones Friday night.
I bet you were.
There he is. Look at him waving.
I think it was a very nice ceremony for Dustin Pedroia.
It was.
It was very nice.
Deserved it.
Michael Lombardi says depth at corner is the Patriots' biggest concern. You agree with that?
That's one of them, yeah.
That assertion?
Sure.
Their biggest concern. Summer vacation takes Bill Belichick to the shores of Nantucket, where he will be wondering about his rebuild from this offseason and if he did enough at the corner position. Everyone else going to focus on the quarterback battle. Belichick's going to spend his summer evenings worrying about his depth at corner, even if Stephon Gilmore returns.
I think they're very deep if he returns.
So it's all about Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's about Gilmore because it's not just about one player. It's about the impact that that one player has and the multiple fronts and coverages that you can run that are specific to having a cover corner. You do away with 30% of your coverages if you don't have him.
Okay, so it's all about getting Stephon Gilmore back. Former agent Joel Corey had something to say about this. Do we have the audio of that, T-Bone?
If you're Bill Belichick, Joel, sort of flip it around here. What would you be trying to get away with to get this guy on the field, make him a little bit happier, understanding that he is Bill Belichick and that he may not be willing to overextend himself long term?
Well, if I'm Belichick, I look to something we did with Tom Brady in the last year that he was a Patriot. His salary went from $15 million to $23 million. They added money in. If I'm Belichick, I don't want to add $8 million like Brady was given. Also, Brady had a clause where you couldn't franchise him or give him a transition tag once the 2019 season ended. I wouldn't want to give Gilmore that same clause, but maybe I put his salary back to where it was supposed to be before last year's basically advance at $11.5 million in the base. So maybe I give him $4.5 million is the raise. And we don't necessarily have to prorate it because the Patriots have enough cap room where they could absorb an additional $4.5 million all in 2021 as opposed to Brady's situation where they spread out the hit over 3 years. If I'm Belichick, I'm looking to just do a modest increase to salary he's supposed to make in 2021.
All right, that's obviously Phil Perry talking with former NFL agent Joel Corey. I'm not as interested and care to get into the ins and outs of the cap and the numbers and all that stuff, but it sounds like it's maybe possible. So if that is the big concern for Belichick outside of the quarterback position, which is it is what it is at this point, why don't you just do that as it's laid out there? Does that make sense to you, doing a deal like that for Gilmore?
No, I don't think he gets enough there. I don't think 4.5 gets him enough. I think you got to give him the 7. Because we read the list of guys that are making, 15, 20, that are maybe better than Steph, but Steph's in that next rung of guys. It's real close. Steph's not stupid, but I know it is amicable. So this is not like it's a nasty ass holdout. I think he wants to be here. I really do. I mean, from guys I talk to, guys that cover the team, they think something can be in play here. But it's See, and I like the way the agent there termed it, you know, a manageable, you know, upgrade for Belichick and the team. That the player doesn't look at $4.5 million when you just gave me $5 million a year ago. You know, it's like, hey, here's, we like what you're doing, here's a bonus. Yeah. No, he wants that seven times two.
Real easy.
Yeah. That number I had, 14. Get it back up there.
All right, let's flip on over to the Bruins here, where Fluto Shinzawa answered questions in his inbox here and asked about all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of fourth line talk. There's a lot of defenseman talk too, and some good breakdowns of what the defensive pairings look like size wise from the Blues from a couple of years ago and the Lightning, and we get into that a little bit later. But I guess the main thing that people were talking about after he answered these questions were about Tuukka Rask. And somebody just asked him flat out about Tuukka and some Don Sweeney stuff too. But he said, how do you feel about the situation with Tuukka? I have to find it now. Here it is. Has Tuukka Rask played his last game for the Bruins or in the NHL? Okay. Here's what Fluto says. I think so. Depending on the quality of the goalie the Bruins acquire/sign. Too much unknown for a 34-year-old coming off hip surgery. Tuukka has said he is not interested in playing anywhere else. Okay. Tuukka, or Fluto, who has as good a pulse on the team as anybody, is Tuukka done? I think so. Done! That's it. Based on... the unknowns, but 34 years old, coming off hip surgery. I guess I just never really like saw it, you know, stated so clearly like that. It's like, I think Tuukka's done. Done as an NHL goalie, all done.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. This is a tough one because of the player, for the affinity for the player, for the history of the player. He's a damn good player when he's right and when he's healthy and when his mind's into it. The big thing here is he needs surgery. And I keep going back to those pressers that, you know, Neely and Shirelli had. You know, we need to see where his head's at. You know, if he needs to get something done, do you want to rehab it? Do you want to fight that to get back? Or you just want to get it done and go retire? But I think the Bruins, from an ideal perspective, would like to get the season started and say, hey, this is the move we're going to make. We like our two young goalies. We're going to add a good veteran goalie, not at $7 million, maybe at $3 million. Or maybe at $2 million, and take that other money and go get another top six guy or a top four defenseman. Do something with what you could take from Rask as collateral and go use it to make your team better. Because if Tuukka is going to miss, I mean, still going to put a lot of stress on the young guys when the year starts, because Tuukka's not coming back till like January, February, if all things go right and if the rehab is good. So it's like, okay, you're rolling your dice, starting the season with just the young guys. No veteran, then Tuukka would be the veteran when he comes back at a big number. That doesn't make fiscal sense for the team.
So here's what Gary asked Fluto. He said,
Gary,
our 16-year-old boy, Gary, knowing that Tuukka Rask wants to stay in Boston, is there a scenario where the Bruins wait until midseason to sign him to see how his rehab is progressing, or do they have to sign him before the season starts? He said they don't have to sign Rask before the season. They could wait until the day before he's ready to play. He would have to clear waivers. But teams are aware he didn't want to play anywhere else. So the Bruins have that going for them in their favor. Again, to be fair and go back to what Fluto said originally, it wasn't just, I don't think Tuukka's going to play anymore. He said it all depends on what the Bruins do about the goaltending situation. Who'd they sign? Who'd they acquire? Who else is going to be in net? It all has to do with that. But in terms of signing him, they can do it the day before he goes back in. That's all that needs to happen. How about grading Bruce Cassidy's performance this year and Don Sweeney/Cam Neely's tenure so far? Fluto, what grade do you think Fluto gave them? Bruce Cassidy's performance this year and the Sweeney Neely tenure so far.
B minus for the first one. A B or B minus. And B minus for the other two.
He gave them both a B.
Yeah.
It's about right. What are the Bruins doing goal next season? Should they partner Jeremy Swayman and a more experienced veteran or bank on Swayman and Dan Vladar? Fluto says they have to acquire or sign an experienced goalie. Yeah. This is as much of a priority as the left shot defenseman. There's no safety net with the Swayman-Vladar rotation. Hmm. That's it. That's it. You couldn't be any clearer about that. All right, so your thoughts on that if you want to, but I have a feeling we're going to be derailed here next.
What are we doing next?
Dan Livshatz lost his mind.
Nah, I can't wait for this.
Lost his mind on a caller, and it relates to hockey.
So for you young kids out there that want to get into broadcasting, and I have him stopping me at bars outside, I'll be at the bar. Hey, I'm Mr. Zolak. I want to get into broadcasting.
Mr.
Zolak? Internships. Yeah. Classy. Where did I do my resume? I said, well, you need to listen. Mm. You need to listen to the tapes. You need to listen to call hosts. You need to listen to producers.
Call hosts.
Call hosts.
Yep.
C's Tech's
next.
So you're saying this is something they should listen to?
Let's go. We're doing Livshatz next.
it's Livshatz. Dan Livshatz. It's a hockey-related phone caller over the weekend. We'll listen to it. Are we going to listen to it in its entirety,
yes.
T-Bone?
Yep.
Is that the idea? Okay. All right. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Got Derek. He released any music lately?
We're not doing that. Instead, we're going to go to Dan Livshatz, who is does a lot of weekend work here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, one of the bankroll boys. Yep. You'll hear him on with Toucher and Rich. You ever work with Livshatz on the weekend?
They're all the time.
Yeah. So you weren't here for this, though.
No.
Okay. Somebody calls him, the hockey-related call.
Mm.
I haven't heard it yet. T-Bone highly recommends it. Let's give it a listen.
We got calls. Let's go to them bright and early today. Oh. Sure, we probably shook some of the Bruins fans.
Hold on. So this is the Bankroll Boys show?
Over under, yeah.
Over
yeah.
under
We're
show.
Talking what, like, so this is like probably 7:30 on a Saturday morning.
So if you're listening, you're a gambling addict.
Good to set the scene, you're right. Right, it's like, yeah, okay, so Friday night, maybe a tie one on. Maybe you're still half in the wrapper when you wake up Saturday morning, you're driving to soccer. Like, maybe I'll listen to a little sports talk, kind of ease into the day.
Exactly.
Feeling pretty bad about the bets I made last night when I lost my ass in T-shirt.
Right.
Let's see what's going on in the world of sports.
And you're going to hear this.
We got calls. Let's go to them bright and early today. Sure, we probably shook some of the Bruins fans. So, what do we got? Rick in Plymouth on the line. What's up, Rick?
How's it going, guys? What's up? I had to chime in on this cup thing because he got my he got me going on the Habs thing. Listen, I grew up on Bobby Orr. I'm 62 years old. I watched the Bruins all my life, love the Bruins, bleed black and gold. However, Montreal is my second team, believe it or not.
That's disgusting, Rick.
It happened in the mid-80s when Patrick Roy came in the league. He's the best goaltender of all time.
He's not even close.
Stanley
he's
Cup,
not even, he's, not, he's not even top four. He's not even top four. Dominic Hasek is better.
Martin
Brodeur is better.
Not in the top.
No.
Come on.
No, dude, he's not.
Well,
stop it.
Good, man.
Stop it.
I don't know. Again, we're talking top five, top ten.
Four goaltenders all time better than Patrick Roy.
Okay, Brodeur, Hasek, off the top of my head. I'll take Carey Price over Patrick Roy.
Got rings, man.
And? Look, what was the last time that Peter Forsberg and Joe Sakic played in front of him, huh?
Before four Stanley Cups. Are you crazy?
So what?
He's the best goaltender ever.
He had Peter Forsberg, Joe Sakic on that team. And so who cares? Oh, what? Colorado, who cares about that?
Yeah.
He played with elite offensive players and elite offensive rosters. He's a really good goalie.
On. Don't By the way,
the best goalie of all time. Dominic Hasek skates circles in Patrick Waugh's head. Please stop it. Stop it.
Not even close. Come on, dude.
There's more.
No.
So I'm glad that McCone set the scene, reminding us this was early on a Saturday morning. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, you've got a splitting headache from what was going on the night before. You're going out to watch soccer, maybe a baseball
game.
Or
that you can't turn your volume and your headset down. Just jack that baby up.
You've got this just pounding your brain. So Patrick Waugh's no good. Like, I hate the Colorado Avalanche, okay? I despise that 90s Avalanche team. And even I will admit, Patrick Waugh.
He was pretty good.
Was pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I cannot wrap my head around the notion that someone thinks that Carey Price is better than Patrick Waugh. But okay, all right, let's continue.
Listen, guys, anybody but Tampa. No, I don't want Tampa with another COVID ball, another COVID cup. I'm sorry. Tom Brady can kiss my butt too for all I care.
I mean, you don't like Tom Brady, but you like the Montreal Canadiens. Get him off my airways. Drop him. Honestly, if I was on the radio right now, I'd call you so many names. You like the Montreal Canadiens? Screw off, dude. You suck. No, you're not a Bruins fan. I don't want to hear it. If you're a Bruins fan, you don't like the Montreal Canadiens. If you're a Red Sox fan, you don't like the Yankees. If you like those teams, you're not a fan. That's how it is. You just like you represent the team that happens to be near you. You're not a real fan. Real fans hate other teams. That's how it is. Stop it.
617-779-0985.
722 in the morning.
It's 722 on a Saturday
Patrick,
morning.
The Patrick Waugh stuff I might be a little wrong about. I will own that.
You got triggered.
I got a little triggered there. I still don't think best goalie of all time. Definitely not.
The first segment, definitely not. We got 2 hours here.
Definitely not the best goalie of all time. But to say that you're a Bruins fan and a Montreal Canadiens fan, okay, yeah. You know, I like the Lakers, and I like, you know, the Boston Celtics. I like the Yankees. I like the Patriots.
Yeah.
It's I mean, what are we doing?
Watching teams that win.
That's a good question.
Watching the popular teams that win. That's what fans do.
The Canadiens teams, there have been teams over the years that I have not liked. Now, I didn't grow up here, so I don't have the DNA hatred of the Canadiens. And there are some teams I didn't like.
They can't pack their building, can they? That's great. They got the tarp in that whole first loge.
But
looks like a bubble.
But listen, when they can pack the building, you know what they do? They pack that building. I mean, the Bell Center is legit.
Yeah.
That's a great environment. That's a great environment. The fans, I think, are obnoxious and detestable in a lot of ways. But this team right now, like for the cup final, which begins tonight, would it kill you if Montreal won?
Nah.
McCone.
No.
I don't feel that way about this team. This particular incarnation of the Canadiens.
Yeah, because they're different.
Feels fluky.
It's not even fluky.
It's a little fluky. It's a lot dull in terms of the way they've won and the way they win. I think Tampa's a more entertaining team to watch, but I find them kind of like the way.
There's kind of
like the Islanders.
There's no passion and hatred.
There's
no passion and hatred.
This team
there
is
used
a,
to be.
It's a tough team to hate. Did you hate the Islanders during the Bruins series?
I started to dislike them more and more each game. But there was no back and forth hatred that you had in other series.
I didn't really.
Capitals, I hated them.
Yeah, the Capitals I hate. I didn't hate the Islanders.
No, I got a lot of respect for the Islanders.
I don't hate this particular Montreal team.
Yeah, you don't like Tom Brady, but you like the Montreal Canadiens? Get him off my airways.
I think it's okay not to like Tom Brady.
Get him off my airways.
Sorry, McBone. He didn't play here no more. He's out there telling basketball players how easy their sport is. Sit next to Draymond Green saying, you got an easy sport. You get to wear comfortable shoes and don't have
Tell
to run.
Tell the video board down in Tampa, let's win the cup and keep it home. Oh, keep it where it should be.
Oh,
let's go, Bolts.
Oh, get them off my airways. Drop them. Drop them.
Sometimes it does feel like there are some underlying issues that go past sports with Lifshatz when
he seems to have a little bit of a wick.
Get him off my airways. Drop him. Drop him. Drop.
Short fuse.
He goes offense right out the bat, and then as soon as the collar is gone, maybe I was a little wrong about Patrick.
How do you think he deals? How do you think he deals in crowded airports?
Yeah, you like Tom Brady, but you like the Montreal Canadiens? Get him off my airways. Drop him. Drop him.
Get him off my airwaves. Whose show is that?
His, I guess.
Apparently. Wow. Yeah, he's got a bit of a short fuse. It took him all of 45 seconds, though, to backtrack on that Patrick Watt take. You know what? Maybe he is one of the best of all time, but still, screw him. Get him off my airwaves.
The best.
I can't stand Patrick Watt.
Watt.
Despise him. Watt. It's really, really good.
The Patrick Watt stuff I might be a little wrong about.
Matt Methuen wants.
What do you have for breakfast? Onions on a bagel?
just
cold, wet ones?
Just a bunch of sliced raw onions on an everything bagel. Matt Methuen, what do you have on the Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah, the reason there's no rivalry this year is we haven't played them since February of 2020. We hadn't seen him this year, so it's tough to hate him when you know when you don't see him.
I mean, given the most recency bias, yeah, I don't have anything against him.
I mean, I started talking about this a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, boy, if the Bruins could just get hot, take care of business, you know, you could face the Montreal Canadiens in a Stanley Cup final, and this place would be going nuts. Everybody laughed at me and said, they're never going to get out of the West. Never. Never.
Well, they had no business going on that run that they did.
Hey, well, they went on one, Chooch.
Which is why it's tough to feel like real venom toward them. Like, they put together, they went on an amazing run, and they did it without, you know, tons of puck luck or tons of, no, they just played solid. They just played really, it's kind of boring. It's been tough to watch. I'll be back all in on this series starting tonight. But if you want me to hate the Canadians, like this version of the Canadians, and his match just brought up in a year where the Bruins didn't even play him, he didn't even get a chance to get that like one-on-one vibe going when they were playing your team. I'm feeling it this year.
If you're a Bruins fan, you don't like the Montreal Canadiens.
No, I'm not buying a Habs jersey, but I don't hate them. I don't hate this Habs team.
You didn't see him this year. It makes sense. Yeah.
I watched him here and there. And there's just not a ton to hate about him. They're still there.
I didn't even hate the Yankees. Like, the Yankees aren't good enough.
Get them off my airways. Drop them. I mean, drop them.
Lightning are big favorites, I think, going into this. They're
huge.
I think the Habs are like plus 200 or something. Yeah.
So this is a worse nightmare than for Bruins, right? If you're a Bruins fan.
Why? Because it's Habs the Lightning?
And Lightning again. Oh. Yeah.
Do you hate the Lightning that much as a Bruins fan?
They beat you like they got your number.
Yeah,
you know?
But they're real good.
Yeah.
they're
good players.
Team. They're a good team. They got good players. You know, they're in, what is it, Champa Bay? Champa Bay. That's all they do is win down
Title
there.
Title Town.
Yeah, maybe you haven't heard. That's all they do is win.
A nice roller coaster, too. Busch Gardens.
Hey, Zoe, the first guy got tossed out of a game because of using stuff.
I saw that.
All right, we're going to talk about that next after Tim McCone's Hub Headlines, which will be flawless, I'm sure.
Flawless.
Here we go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And we might have an issue going on here with Hector Santiago, as the sticky stuff police has pulled him over a routine inspection. And three umpires, including our home plate umpire, looking at Santiago's glove more in-depth than Scott Service is out there. Now, all four umpires are there to inspect the glove. And they just, now, do they run Scott or they run Santiago? Somebody got run from this game. Santiago, of course, is out of this game. Yeah. He has been pulled. Doesn't mean he can't be ejected, though. But they are taking his glove away. And Scott Service is now pleading his case. One of the umpires is giving the international sign of going to his wrist, looking like the rosin and sunscreen type of hand gesture.
That's the Mariners' Hector Santiago, first player to be ejected during the new MLB crackdown for all the whining and complaining that's been going on. No one's been thrown out of a game yet until yesterday when Santiago, who was already into the game, he had been in for a few innings. He had just given up two walks and two hits in the inning, and something prompted the umps to go out there and take a look. And they inspected his glove. And at that point, they said, okay, you're gone. He handed his glove over, and just a few moments later, they ejected him. And it appears they were looking at the inside of his glove.
Yeah, supposedly he's putting it on the inside there. And you put it all over your glove, your neck, your belt, you know, your top of your hat, under your hat, on top of your hat. It doesn't matter. But what's he getting now? 10 games? He gets paid, which is BS. I mean, if you want to fine these guys, and if you want to penalize them, and you don't want them to do this, the only way you could get this done is by taking their money. But giving them 10 days fully paid does nothing for me.
Yeah.
I actually think these things are funny. It's comical. Because the umps don't even want to do it. The umps like, oh, God, here we go. We got to do this again. It's like nonchalant. And I tell you what, over the weekend, though, Shohei Ohtani. You know, we've talked about him here on the program before. Beatles' favorite player, right? Babe Ruth. Did you see him, how cordial he was with the umps? Shaking hands, talking to them, laughing. Yes, sir. No, sir. Slap him on the back. I'm like, there's such a likability factor with this guy. There really is. He could hit. He could pitch. He's a superstar. He's exactly what baseball needs. And if he would have freaked out the way some of these other a-holes are doing it, then he would have looked like one, too.
Well, did you see what this Santiago guy did when he was coming off the... Because they took him out of the game.
I didn't see what he did.
He was coming out of the game, and they checked his glove. He jokingly, like, sidestepped the umps. Like, he was like, you're not going to check me?
Oh.
What was the holdup, though? He had already been in. So Gilbert got the start. He was in there for two.
He was coming out of the game.
He was coming out, and they were pulling him after two and a third, right? He was into his third inning of work. He pitched two and a third. So
tough day.
All right.
That's when they checked the one glove.
And he said all it was rosin. That's all I was using. It was just rosin.
When was Garrett Cole getting checked? When he was losing 6-0? Like, you want to check them in tight games, not when they're getting their asses kicked.
Sweat and rosin, that's all it was. He's been in the league for 10 years. So he's getting a paid vacation.
Yeah.
For doing what he's probably been doing for his entire career.
Get a burger, sit by the pool, hang out, check your emails.
If he was at all.
If he was, allegedly.
They put that glove in a garbage bag, and they looked like they were taking it off for evidence.
Hermetically sealed bag going evidence.
It was like a hefty bag.
The glove was seen being wrapped up by the authenticator to be further inspected in New York under the new rule that went into effect. Once they take it back and check it, it's just going to be sweat and rosin, Santiago said. They're going to do all this if they're going to do all this science stuff, it's going to be sweat and rosin. We'll be all right.
CSI.
Now, the thing that does affect the team is he can't be replaced on the roster. Remember that.
Yeah.
So he is gone for the 10-game suspension. but he could also be cleared of any wrongdoing once the glove is inspected. So he's the first. You just use your judgment on what you consider is sticky, Hellion said, and not a norm for what we've seen over all our careers in baseball. So there you go. We got our first one. It'll be fascinating to see what type of test they conduct on the glove and what they come back with, because Santiago is adamant that he did not use anything other than rosin, and he mixed it with the sweat, and it got sticky, and that's what happened.
Who ordered the code red on Santiago?
Oh.
Kendrick ordered the code red.
Yeah, but it came from, what was his name?
Will? Sam!
Let's see. Which one was Kendrick? Was that?
Kendrick was the one with the glasses.
Oh, boy.
Now
I got to look it up.
God!
Why do you do this
to me? TV's telling me Colonel Jessup.
Jessup.
Colonel Nathan Jessup was Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. Kendrick was the bad guy.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland was Kendrick, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think
who was the other one that they had?
The guy
witness
went,
protection.
JT,
he killed himself.
JT Walsh.
JT Walsh.
Damn it. I can't do this. I can't do this in the middle of the segment. I can't look at all of it right now. I probably could. Hey, you want a little movie nugget, Zoe?
Yes.
You know what is celebrating its release in theaters today?
What?
June 28th, 1985. Did you know about this,
June 28th? Oh, it had to be Top Gun.
Nope. June 28th, 1985, St. Elmo's Fire was released in theaters on this date. And that is the movie that made you want to go to Maryland.
It's one of the reasons I wanted to go to Maryland.
I mean, you were...
I still tell the story to this day. Like,
you were recruited there.
I was recruited there. First place they took me was Frat Row, where Billy and them were all playing football.
Right.
Out there. You see the pillars, long white pillars, red brick, gorgeous campus, beautiful campus. Set in the fall. They filmed the movie in the fall. They went down to Georgetown. We would always go drinking in Georgetown because it was 18. That was a legal age. Packed 20 kids in the car. Go down there. Yep. This. You hear this? I'm like, I want to get right on the highway and go right to D.C. Let's go. College Park, baby.
You know, Billy wanted to get a job back at his old fraternity, which I thought was odd. Like, did they really think they were going to pay him?
Yeah, they did.
To hang around and coach up their...
Yeah, and then
their...
they thought, oh, well, we do need a good drug dealer, and that kind of put the downer on him.
Yeah, he did.
He should have got into the card business with Howie.
Oh, that's right. Greeting cards.
Yep, greeting cards.
You can turn this up a little bit, Tom. That's all right.
Great movie. Great soundtrack. A lot of good actors in this movie.
Oh, this is the
starts.
This is the Brat Pack right here.
Yep.
Ali Sheedy, Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy, Emilio Estevez.
Yep.
Demi Moore, Judd Nelson. It's a tour de force. Yeah, you can turn it up. Go ahead. Here's what's disappointing about the movie. No nudity. I don't think there's one scene of nudity in the entire movie.
No need nudity.
You could have done with a little bit.
Call Mr. Skin?
Well, I mean...
Yeah, what's the most nudity you had in the movie without thinking, hey, there's going to be nudity, and then bam. Look at that. Crying Game?
The Hangover.
Hangover.
Did The Hangover have any nudity? Yeah, there's a scene where...
Credits at the end, yeah.
The credits at the end, and there's a scene where the guy jumps out of the trunk of the car.
You know what else comes up or sneaks up on you? Forgetting Sarah Marshall, that opening scene.
I don't know.
Which is it?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, that opening scene when he gets dumped.
No.
Drops the towel. Tough.
All right, sneaky good movie nudity. We'll take your calls on that as we continue here on Zolak and Bertrand. It's Hardy and Verbeetle, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
It's gotta be the closest thing to Woodstock.
In the middle of the day.
It's like an acidic trip.
There's always a little bit of heaven in the disaster area.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rock, rock, never stop. Take your passion to the top.
What is this?
It's from the soundtrack of that movie. You'd know that if you saw it.
What movie?
If you wanted to impress us, you should have played the song that Billy's band is playing in the bar. But after he gets done with his sax solo, and he does the...
Let's rock.
Let's rock! All right. Your calls and everything from... Stephon Gilmore to sneaky good movie nudity. We'll begin with the
and
latter
the barbershop
there.
Calls too.
And sure, anything about a barbershop, Joey? What do you have for us?
So it is a terrible PG-13 movie, The Fifth Element. Mila Jovovich dumps him out twice. Boom.
Really?
Twice.
What do you mean he dumps him out?
What? She's got that look.
I can't believe you just took that call.
What do you mean
I
dumps
put
him
it out?
Out
there as a topic, McCone. What right. Am I going to put it out there and then not take the call?
That's a fair point. Fair point.
She's wearing that very tight bandage type thing. I don't remember her dumping him out. Once, much less.
Twice.
Thank you.
Two times.
Chris and Peabody on St. Elmo's Fire. Yes, Chris.
Scott, I know you're a big gangster movie buff, and I just wanted to call your attention to the movie Gaudy by Armin Assante on HBO.
Okay.
And I communicate a little bit with Michael Francis, you know who he is, and Mike says that out of all the movies that were ever made, mob-wise, this was the most realistic one. So, you know, it's okay to like these other ones, but if you really want to get down to the real deal, and Mike said that he gets chills down his spine looking at certain scenes in Gaudy, and in his mind, it's number one, and even though he likes the other ones. And another thing is that on Mondays, he reviews mob movies. So,
hold on a second. You're talking about the John Travolta movie?
No, I'm talking about Gaudy. It was about John Gaudy that was on HBO, starring Armin Assante.
Oh, okay.
Assante.
All right, because there was John Travolta was in a movie called Gaudy too. All right. Did you get that, Zoe?
I did. I heard that too, and I read that somewhere else that like you look at Goodfellas and these other ones, and they sat down with a mob guy and said, "Yeah, this is not how we do a hit. We do a hit this way." And he said, you always got to cut the body up. Yeah, you can cut the fingers off and cut the teeth up. It's just like, oh.
This one's from 1996, I think. When the hell did this movie come out?
Around then. I mean, if Armin Assante's doing it, that's the wheelhouse.
All right. Jake in Boston.
Jake!
I know. I can't believe
it
took nearly 3 hours in on a Monday. What do you got, Jake?
Well, first of all, Angelina Jolie and Tom and Tomb Raider is the scene you should mention. Second, Hardy, I know you're a Below Deck guy. The new season starts tonight, and I've seen the first episode. The chef is a personal chef of Robert Kraft, So much so that I did research, and he's got a pair of Super Bowl rings and a bunch of custom Air Force Ones directly from Robert. So that's part of the fun. And at this point, I'd rather have Captain Sandy, and it's a Captain Sandy season rather than Robert Kraft as my owner. But different story, different day.
Are you a this Captain Sandy or a Captain Lee guy if you just had to choose a captain?
Lee.
Oh, I think Captain Lee would be great to work for. He's the type of boss I'd like to work for. Absolutely. But this guy had the audacity to wear a boogeyman shirt on the boat during the show.
Oh,
a true testament to how much that gimmick was a toxic cancer on the franchise. The fact that it hit the entire organization from the coaching staff to the literal chef to Bob Kraft. And by the way, just a teaser here, this chef, very, very soft, starts to resemble the Patriots quarterback situation in episode one when they don't have a backup plan for the most important position on the crew, which is the chef, which is the equivalent to the quarterback of the ship. So that's a chaos in waiting, certainly worth watching. Also, big wedding weekend for the football world here. Brian Belichick got married on Nantucket this weekend.
I saw that.
Field Yates, yeah, Field Yates' brother-in-law, so Field Yates was not at the wedding. And then Phil Dorsett got married in Florida, and the Stidhams were at that one. The Bradys weren't. So just a little gossip from over the weekend. Below Deck featuring Robert Kraft's personal chef. Worth watching. Chaos Episode 1 starts to resemble the quarterback situation because the chef gets hurt and they've got no replacement.
Good stuff. Right, thanks,
thank
Jake.
You. All right, thank you. You Below Deck guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Chief Stew is more important.
Big Captain Lee.
Chief Stew is a big one. What about the what's the first mate on the deck of the outside
bosun.
Crew?
You know what I
the
noticed?
Bosun. Thank you.
You know what I noticed on the back of these boats, the big ones, like when they put the big door up to where they go into all the storage and they're all sitting around there and stack. I'm like, it's a lot of unused space. Why wouldn't I put more of that into my boat? Like have a bigger living quarter. Instead of having all that storage, like, do you really need all that storage?
All the toys.
Got to be able to take the Sea-Doo in and turn it around all the way. Can't just attach it to the back of the boat.
It's probably something that this is my guess. Probably really loud back there.
Engines.
Where the engines are?
Yeah.
So maybe you wouldn't want to stay down there.
I just noticed that. I thought it was like a lot of unused space there.
Well, depending on who's packing it up, sometimes it's a tight thing.
Right.
You got a couple of jet skis back there. You got that slide. They all hate the slide. Nobody likes messing with that slide.
I don't like that slide.
I wouldn't want to mess with that.
It would look cool coming off the top of the boat. Like, oh, look how much fun they're having over there. They're like, yeah, they got to get on it and get out of it.
Yeah, seriously. It's like once you go down a couple of times, all right, we did that.
Right.
Now what?
It's like walking down a hill.
I tell you what I don't want is that bike that you pedal out there.
Oh, my God.
The paddles on it. That looks awful.
It looks stupid.
Mike in Nashua, you got a good movie with nudity in it? Sneaky good.
I do.
Yeah.
Hey, anyone looking at Shuffle thinks Back to the Future is the best movie of all time, or at least thinks it's one of the best, probably has to consider Lee Thompson an auburn-headed goddess. But she was in All the Right Moves. She's got a nude scene with Tom Cruise.
She does. I wouldn't call it fully nude. It's definitely topless. It's got a... You are watching actors portraying high schoolers, so it feels a little bit wrong at this stage of my life to be watching it. But I know what you're talking about, and it's a fine scene. A great movie.
Dumps them out twice. Boom!
How many times?
Twice. Boom. I don't understand. Dumped them out twice.
I don't remember any nudity in The Fifth Element.
Twice.
But apparently it happens
two
twice.
Times.
You've got to be in All the Right Moves, guys, though.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. You know what the scene I'm talking about, where she goes up and into Steph's bedroom there and sees the architecture drawings he's been working on, his undersea dome, things like that.
And then the dumbass that was going to USC got his girlfriend pregnant, lost a scholarship.
Oh, yeah, Christopher Penn.
Yep.
Absolutely. John in Foxborough, sneaky... good movie for nudity. What is it?
Hey, you guys remember the scene in Titanic in the car, where Jack and Rose...
Yeah, it's all fogged up.
Yeah?
Yeah. And also in the new Below Deck scene, Captain Sandy starts cooking as the chef. Captain Sandy's in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, okay, let's not have any Below Deck spoilers, okay? Huh. I like the preview that Jake gave us, but don't tell me what's going
to
happen.
Oh, Jesus, bitch about all the food all the time. She should try cooking it sometimes, too.
What are we doing? Yeah, Captain Lee doesn't really make too many comments on the food, does he?
No, Captain Lee, eat what you got to eat. We're going where we got to go, and he's a straight-shooting guy. Here's what it is. Here's the tip. No tolerance, zero tolerance policy on his boat.
Yep.
He runs a tight ship. I like that guy.
More calls on movie nudity than anything else we've done today, so feel free to keep those coming at 617-779-0985. Only one open line. And then we'll also get back into the press conference, the introductory press conference.
Oh, Jim Loft loved this thing. Loved this press conference.
Well, he loved how Ime Udoka came off in the press conference. He says he seems like a Captain Lee type, a no-nonsense guy. Not gonna take anything from the players. He knows how to bring the dog out in these guys. So we'll go. Zod was not in. He was not excited by the press conference. We'll make it exciting as we retell you what happened. Maybe even listen to a portion of it coming up after McCone's Hub headlines here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.